Destiny, this is Pastor Lee. Y'all, what is up? Y'all, every time we get ready to do it a certain way, things change up on us. I guess that's life. That's how it goes. I hope you're rolling with the punches too. And not only just rolling with the punches, I know that you're going to thrive more than just survive. Yes, you know, the good news is that all of us are in the same boat. Yeah, some of us have it more challenging than others. Shout out to all the barbers, all the hair salons, the nail salons, owners, the people that are working like that. Shout out to y'all, and our prayers are with y'all. But we're all in the same boat. We're all wondering what's going to happen next. But here's the good news. The good news, if you're a believer, we as believers can look to God's word. And y'all, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about God's word and why it's so important, and particularly in these times, that we get into God's word. There's so many believers that have been born again for decades, but yet haven't realized the greatness that God has in store for them. And you know, it's really heartbreaking, and it's frustrating to be in the word of God and still not be able to break through in that that addiction, still wrapped up in poverty, still wrapped up in some sickness, still wrapped up in sin, or whatever the case may be. And so the thing that is going to radically change your life is how to get the life out of the word. The Bible says, and this is what we're going to talk about. Let me pray first. Let me pray. I hope you, by the way, hope you got some popcorn. I wish I had some chips or some popcorn or something up here, because this is, I got my daughters right outside the door, and we're just being silly because it's like, golly, no band, no singers, you know, none of my whole team is here. It's just me and my daughters here in the building. So shout out to all the band, all the choir. I thank y'all, by the way, all the team that has been helping us to do the live stream just since we started last week. But we had our whole team. We had the praise and worship, and it was just, you know, so now it's just me sitting here in my office, and this afternoon we were in the sanctuary, and it was really difficult because it's just such a big room, and me and a camera and a microphone. So let's pray. Let's get started. And first of all, let me just say thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us live stream. And if you would share this out, I really think, I don't even think it, I know that if you get what I'm going to share with you over these next few minutes about drawing the life out of the word, the healing out of the word that you need, the prosperity out of the word, what I'm going to share with you tonight are the things that have changed my life. And it's going to be so impactful. So I want to encourage you, first of all, share. Hit the share button. My daughters told me to tell you that. Hit the share button and let us know if you're there. Hit up your friends. Let us know you're there. Shout me out. Let me know that you're watching. Encourage me the best way you can. And we're going to jump into the word after we pray. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for technology. Thank you for the ability to not have to be in the same room with someone and yet give them the word of life and impact their lives. I break bondages. I curse you, coronavirus. I declare that the glory of God will be revealed, that your healing will be revealed. Lord, I declare that your provision will be revealed. I declare that everything that you have in store for us, what the devil meant for bad, you'll make it for good. For all those who weren't able to pay some bills, that they come out on top of this, that the money that they would have had and had to spend on bills, now they'll be able to have for extra things and be able to do with nothing missing and nothing lacking. I declare that. I declare that you are healed. I declare that you are, your family is well. I declare that all of y'all at home together with the kids doing homework and everything else and going on, that you have the peace of God that passes understanding. And Lord, give us revelation tonight in your word that sets us free, that helps us to withdraw everything from you that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got your Bible, please go get your Bible, y'all. I don't have my screen, but I've got my Bible right in front of me. I've got my book, and so I want you to get your Bible, and let's go through some scriptures. We're talking about God's word. Again, we're talking about God's word, and y'all, this is the thing that made the difference in my life, really getting in the word. And I know in today's time and the way life is today, that many believers who love God, who are sincere, don't have time. They don't make the time. I'll say it like that. They don't make the time or understand the priority that giving the word will the impact that it will have on their life, the impact that it will have on their finances, the impact that it will have on their health, the impact that it will have on their marriage. The bottom line is the troubles, the difficulties, the challenges we have in life, the sicknesses, every single challenge can be resolved by the Word of God. And you might say, now how in the world does that happen? How does a book change my life? Friend, I'm telling you, this book is like none other. So let's jump into it. Go get your Bible and let's get down together with me. Come on. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 8. We're going to talk about God's Word, and specifically we're going to talk about it being bread of life, and we'll explain that. But let's first of all go to our foundation text in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Y'all know it. We've said it, read it many a time. But listen, how awesome this is. Jesus saying this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So they believed in him. Of course, this is before the cross. But they believed him. They believed what he was saying. And look what he says. If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples. Now, this is so vitally important because, again, y'all hear me say it so much, that many believers, I would venture to say most believers, ouch, I know, most believers are converts versus disciples. In other words, they love the Lord. They're on their way to heaven, but they have most of the same problems that the world has, the same divorce rate. And I'm not throwing shade because I've been through a divorce. All the things that I'm telling you, I've been through, experienced that, the sickness, the sicknesses, the broke, the same exact challenges, but born again, going to church all the time. But I didn't know how to extract the life or the truth out of the Word of God and apply it in my life so it actually made a difference. And that's what we're talking about, and that's why we're on this series, God's Word. So Jesus said, if you abide, of course, we don't use that word abide. I'm reading from the New King James Version, but it means to dwell in, to live. Old King James says, if you continue. So it implies this isn't just a Sunday thing. It's not just a one day a week thing. It's not just, you know, a one time event thing. It's a lifestyle. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples or disciplined ones indeed. And it does take discipline. And just like you know, if you get an exercise plan, if you get a eating right plan, you're gonna have to put some discipline in place and make yourself do it until it becomes habit. Now I've done this so long, it doesn't feel right if I don't get up and jump in the Word. I feel out of kilter. I don't feel right if I don't get up, if I don't have the opportunity to do my miles in the morning. I've set that as a habit. And if you do that, and that's what he's talking about. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. So if you are living in the word, abiding in the word, and I like to say it like this, living in the word like I'm living in this body. Living in the word like you're living in the body. In other words, you separate from your body, it's going to change everything. You don't live in this word, it's going to change everything. But if you live in this word, that means set your whole life according to it. Everything, the way you do life, the way you raise your children, the way you do marriage, the way you do sex, the way you do money, the way you do your life according to the word. He said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth as a result of being a disciple and continuing the word, and that truth that you know will make you free. Make you free from what? Make you free from everything that binds you, everything that's bondage, everything that's sin. Y'all, I know what it's like to be bound in life to something and can't seem to break out of it. Bound to an addiction, bound up where that thing rules over you, where you don't want to do something, but then the addiction is making you, or you're broke, or you're locked up and broke. It can't get out of that. And the beautiful thing about the word is, it says, you shall know the truth. Knowing the truth, and the Bible says this in John 17, 17, Jesus said, he said, sanctify or separate them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Your word is truth. Separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. So how the truth makes us free is by knowing it. But what knowing it first does is it identifies the problems in your life. In other words, before I was saved, someone revealed the truth of the word to me, and I found out that I was a sinner.
you shall know the truth. I found out the truth was I was on my way to hell. So it identifies, the truth first identifies some of the problems and issues in your life. You know, before I used to think when flu season came around, before I got born again, before I really understood the word, I used to think, well, you know, flu season comes around, sickness comes around, cancer. I mean, there's nothing you can do about those things. That's just what it is. But when I found out the truth, I found out, no, that's from the devil. I don't have to receive that. I don't have to accept that. The truth, you'll know the truth. You know, as a teenager, I thought that sex was a normal thing. You're just supposed to have sex with your girlfriend. You're supposed to, that's a normal thing. It was a normal lifestyle. Once I found out the truth, I found out, whoa, that's I'm doing this wrong. So what the truth initially does is it kind of shines light on areas in your life that aren't in line or aren't congruent with the word. If you see sickness in your life, the truth, you'll know the truth. And you go, hold up, I'm not supposed to have sickness as a believer, as a man or woman of God, as a child of God. I'm not supposed to have sickness. He took on my sickness so I could have his healing. All these things. So the first thing that the truth does is reveal to you what's the way it should be. I'm not supposed to be broke. I'm not supposed to be depressed. I'm not supposed to be sick. I'm not supposed to be broke down and out. And then look at this last part. So that you shall know the truth, right? Know the truth that I'm a sinner. And here's the best part though. And the truth shall make you free. The good news about the truth, about the word of God is, not only does it show you where the problem is, it fixes the problem for you. The truth will change the situation. The truth, the word of God is different than any other book. It's different than any other kind of writings. It is literally the word of God and it is the life of God. And that's why we've got to understand it. And why many people are kind of, I guess, afraid of the Bible or just think it's some ancient book is because they don't know that it is actually God in hard copy. His thoughts, his ways. But then if we take these words, God's words off the page, mix it in our heart, it changes everything in our life effortlessly. It's not something that I don't have to make myself saved. The word will do it for me. I don't have to make myself healed. The word will heal me. The Bible says in Psalms 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. The word did that. And that's what we've got to understand, how to get the word to do it for us. So let's understand a little bit. We've covered already. Look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I'm going to turn there too. 2 Timothy. No big screen behind me today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I hope y'all stick with me today. And let me build a case for you here so you understand how to withdraw, how to draw off the life of the word. Here, look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. New King James Version, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amplified Bible says it's God-breathed. God-breathed. What that means is, you remember in Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating the heavens and the earth and he created man, he formed man of the dust of the ground. I just envision him grabbing some dirt on the ground, or like if you're at the beach and you start forming clay, you know, forming the sand into an image or into something. He formed the dirt into a man, and then it says he breathed into it. The word of God is God-breathed. The Bible says every scripture is God-breathed. So that means, just like when God breathed, he may have just said a word like life. His word life contains life. His breath contained life and caused dirt to live. And the Bible says all scripture is God-breathed, or given by inspiration of God. It's not just a book written by men. It is inspired by God, by the Spirit of God. All scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, right? That's instruction, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible gives us instruction. It lets us know what's right, what's wrong. Now, don't get the wrong impression about that, because many people think that the Bible is just a book of do's and don'ts. And that is a part of it. It's a part of it, because if you do the wrong things, you can ruin your life. I don't know about you, but I've experienced some of that, just making some poor choices and poor decisions in life have derailed my life at certain times in my life. You get it? It just got me off track in life. So the Bible is that. It's God's instruction manual for the victorious God kind of life. So first of all, what the truth does is when you know the truth, it lets you know where things are wrong in your life. It lets you know where things are out of kilter, right? And then let's look at this other passage. Turn over in your Bible to Hebrews. I told you I got to get your Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, snap. Let me get to it. Hebrews chapter 4, right before all the after all the T books, I think. Hebrews chapter 4. See, I've gotten dependent on them on the screens now, for real. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Look at this one. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword," right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, "piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." The Bible says that the word can divide the soul and the spirit, right? "And the joints and the marrow," right? So your joints, the marrow in your bones, it separates that, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." It can separate your true intent and the thoughts of your heart. Have you ever intended to do something right, but then you did something else? I meant to do, God, I wanted to do this right, but then I ended up doing something wrong. The word of God separates those for you and lets you know what's right and what's wrong. It's a powerful thing. Amplified Bible says, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power." So again, the word of God is different than any other words. It contains God's life. When God created, took that dirt of the earth and breathed into it, breathed his breath into it, and perhaps just said live, that the word live contains life. The word green, when God says it, makes things green. Y'all get what I'm saying? His word is alive. And that's the difference in it. When the Bible says the truth will make you free, why? Because those words will cause the healing to come into you. The words of healing from God's word contain healing. Well, Pastor Lee, how do I get it in my life? I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to uncover and that's what we're going to unfold in this series. So we find out that the word of God is instruction, lets you know the truth, lets you know what's wrong, but then it's alive. Not only does it let you know what the truth is, it makes the transformation for you. When I found out I was a sinner, I received the word of God and the word caused me to be born again. Not of my own effort, the word did that just by receiving it. The same thing, the same effect with healing, the same way it works in every aspect of life. Look, turn over in your Bible. This is one of my favorite ones right here. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Back in Hebrews, go left. Go to the left in Hebrews. Go back past, I call them the T books. That's the way I remember where it is. The T books. You'll pass up Jude and Timothy. Here we go. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to read this one from the Amplified Bible. Listen to this. This is Paul writing. He says, "And we also especially thank God continually for this, that when you received the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it." Did you hear that? The Bible says, Paul is saying, he says, "I'm so grateful for you that you didn't take me teaching you and speaking the word of God to you as me speaking just some words to you." He said, "No, you took it as it really was, God's word. Even though I'm telling you, I'm taking God's word and telling it to you, and if it's believed on, if it will effectively work in you who believe, right? Exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it." The Bible says that the word of God will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It'll transform you and bring superhuman power into you. So in other words, the word of God is able to separate and divide, cut out cancer, cut out sickness. The word will do it itself. Even when a surgeon can't do it, the word of God is alive and can separate sickness from health. It can separate disease and cells. It can cut through the soul and the spirit. Oh, it can. The word of God will change my thinking. I don't have to try to change my thinking. The word of God, in fact, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says it like this. "Be not conformed," verse 1, "be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." As you get in the word continuously, and I'm going to show you how to do that, how to make application to it, how it would begin to change your thinking. Change your thinking. You know, like this. I oftentimes say this, that many believers, and this is a strong saying, get ready, buck up for this one, that many believers are more discipled and trained and taught by the world and the culture than the Word and Christ. And what I mean by that is they spend more time understanding what the world's ways are versus what God's ways are and what the Word is. And so the Word is the ultimate truth. In our world today, many people have their own truth. I live by my truth. And I get that. I get all that. But what God is saying is, I'm ultimate truth. I am the truth. And if you'll align your life, if you'll sync your thinking, get your life aligned with this, all that I purposed you to be, purposed you to have, created you to do will come to pass. And watch this, the Word will cause those changes in your thinking and in your behaviors. You don't have to make yourself do certain things. The Word will transform you and make you have a will to do it. The Word of God will give you the will to do right. The Word of God, if your marriage is tore up and you're a believer, listen, no shade. But what that's saying is, there's some area in your life, in your attitude, and perhaps even in both of you, that you haven't submitted your life to the Word of God and allowed it to make the changes so that you and your spouse can get along. And I've never married anybody who didn't want to be married. I just haven't done it. I haven't stood before them and they're like, I don't want to do this. Dang. No, but I have married some people that were real happy when they got married, but then 3 months down the road, they're sitting in my office on that couch over there, separated from each other, mad at each other because someone's done something crazy or somebody said something crazy or whatever the case. But typically what it is they didn't submit themselves to each other like the Word of God says. You get it? And so that's what life is. Life is a matter of submitting ourselves, our will to the Word of God, aligning ourselves with it. Jesus even had to do that. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done, Father, when it was time to go to the cross. And that's often what we do. We submit to His Word. The Bible says this, submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oftentimes we're trying to get rid of the devil doing stuff in our lives, but we haven't submitted to God. And the way we submit to God is by submitting to His Word. Turn over in your Bible. Let me show you something else. Turn over in your Bible to John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. You know, if we talk about the Word, I got to read this. It says, in the beginning, John 1 and 1. I'll give you time to get there. That's enough. John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love this because it's saying, in the very beginning, before anything was, the Word was there, and the Word was with God. And not only that, the Word and God are inseparable. They're one. They're one and the same. He, or the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So the Word of God is what created everything. Now, this is what's vitally important to understand, that the Word of God contains the creative power of God. God's Word created the whole universe. Here it is. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Watch this. In Him, or in the Word, was life. And in all things were made through Him, which is the Word. And without Him, that's the Word, was not anything made that was made. So the Word made everything that God wanted to make. God used His Word to make everything that He wanted to make. Amen. It says, and in Him, or in that Word, is life. And by the Word, that Word life is Zoe, the God kind of life. In His Word, or in Him, contains the God kind of life. Did y'all hear what I said? The God kind of life is contained in God's Word. It's in His Word. When you get God's Word, you get His life. All right, watch this. And the life was the light of men. We talked about that light last week. What light simply does is expose darkness and expel darkness, right? So that Word exposes darkness. For example, if you thought, all right, get ready, here's another strong one. If you thought that abortion was all right because it's, you know, we have to protect the rights of women. The Word shines light on that because God said life begins at conception. That God is the one who puts you in the mother's womb at conception, right? So then what you do is submit to that and say, hold up, well, that's, if that's God's thinking, I've got to submit my life to that. But many people say, well, no, that I believe. What's going to bring the will of God in your life is when we submit what we believe to what God said. That's the submission that we have to do to the Word of God. Let's move on. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Watch this. The darkness doesn't understand. I love it in the Amplified. The darkness can't cohabit with the light. Let me read verse 5 in the Amplified. It says, and the light shines on in darkness, for darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and it is unreceptive of it. In other words, when the light of God's word comes in and it's received, darkness is expelled. It's pushed out. Before it's expelled, it's revealed though. And that's where when you find out I'm doing something that's not in line with the word of God, I've got to acknowledge that. And the word of God will cause it to expel once we accept that light of God's word. Jump down to verse 14. Y'all know this one. It says, and the word became flesh. The word of God became manifested. That's what the word will do in your life. The words of healing will manifest as healing in your life. The words of prosperity will manifest as prosperity in your life. The words of God of peace, my peace I leave with you. As you take those words, embrace that by faith, speak it out of your mouth, mix it in your heart with faith. My peace I leave with you, John chapter 14. If you take that, that's Jesus' words. My peace I leave with you. And particularly in times like these where peace is being disturbed, where peace, you know, is becoming diseased. You're losing, many people are losing their peace and becoming diseased or not at ease. And that's what causes disease. But Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. How do I get that? How can I have peace? How does Jesus sleep in the middle of a storm where the boat is filling up with water, where the disciples have to come up and wake him up? Well, he had peace because he knew that's not how I'm going to die. And we've got to know that this coronavirus is not how we're going out. This is not going to take me out. This is not going to take out my business. This is not going to take out my church. This is not going to take out my finances. This is not going to take out my kids. We've got to know that. We've got to know that God has purposed and destined us to be alive for this season, for this time, and it's time for us to shine. But we're not going to be able to shine if we don't get on this word and know how to extract the life out of it. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Of course, that's Jesus. He was the walking word, the word manifest, the word incarnate. He was God, one with the word. In fact, all over in John chapter 14, 15, 16, Jesus says over and over that he and the Father are one. Here we see that Jesus and his word are one. But in John, later on in the chapters, at the Last Supper, Jesus begins to say that me and my Father are one. And then he goes on to say that he wants to be one with us like he's one with the Father. And what that says to me is the same way the word creates in Jesus' life, and Jesus actually said it, these works shall you do and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. The same ability that the Word of God has in Jesus is the same power and ability, creative power, it has in us when we submit to it, understand how to execute it, and cause it to bring life to our life and others as well. Amen. So we see that the Word of God and God are one in the same. They're synonymous. That's important as we move forward. Turn over to John chapter 6. Y'all all right? You need to stand up and stretch out? All right. Stick with me. Come on, stick with it, brother. Stick with me. Look over at John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6, and we're going to look at this chapter because this whole chapter is about my topic today as we talk about it. I'm just building up to it. But in John chapter 6, verse 63, look at this. Jesus says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Watch this. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Did y'all hear that? Jesus is saying, my words are spirit and life. His words, again, what we already said in Genesis chapter 1, when God breathed into dirt, he breathed his spirit in it. The Bible says that. He breathed into the nostrils of man. He became a living soul. He became alive. He became pneuma. He became a spirit that was alive because God's breath. And Jesus said, my words are that breath. My words are that spirit. Again, that confirms what's in 2 Timothy, that the word of God contains his very breath, his very life, his very DNA. Today, as we dig deeper into understanding how to make this word manifest in our life, the words of healing, the words of prosperity, the words of peace, the words of joy, all these things that God has promised us, how do we manifest it? Today, I want to look at it as the word being bread. The Bible talks about the word being bread. Let's look over here. First, over in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and let's begin at verse 8. Isaiah, again, share this out, y'all, so we can get some other people to watch and learn this. Because I'm telling you, this is what changed my life. This is what changed my life. And I'm telling you, I was one of the most confused kids, I got to say, when I was 18 years old, and just had no clue of direction for my life. Didn't know how to do what I was going to do with my life, anything. So I'm blown away as I look at the result of the Word of God in my life. I'm blown away at it. And I know you'll be blown away if you can make application to it. And I believe you will. Look over in Isaiah chapter 55, verse, I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. Look at this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Good. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Essentially, God just saying, I'm smarter than you. But watch this. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for to which I sent it. All right, here's what he's saying. He said, just like the rain comes down from the heavens and the snow comes down, it waters the earth, he says, and it doesn't return void. He said, my word is the same way. It comes, I've released it out of my mouth to give seed to the sower. Now watch, I'm going to take some weeks and talk about that. And I got to go through some parables and talk about that. So I'm going to start that next week. But this week, I'm going to talk to it about bread. And particularly at these times when you can't find no bread on the shelves. Well, I think you can now. They had some and I got some and put some in the freezer too. But think about this. The Bible says that the word is like bread to the eater. Think about this. Bread, first of all, does you no good in the package. You can look at it. It can look pretty. Even if you open it up and touch it and smell it and watch this, even if you put it in your mouth and chew it, if you don't swallow it, the benefit of the bread, and if you just chew it in your mouth, pack it. I remember when our kids were little and they just, especially Steve would just pack her mouth and have her cheeks packed up with food. And I'd just be wondering, she's going to chew that food all day without swallowing it. If you don't swallow the bread, it doesn't do you any good. And this is why many believers hear the word, but they never ingest it. They never get it down where like with bread, you have to ingest it. And I don't remember science, all that, and biology, all that stuff well to know, but I knew there were enzymes and something. When food goes into your stomach, it's broken down, and whatever part of your body needs it, it goes in and gives and nourishes that part of you. The word of God is the same way. If we just hear it and it doesn't get down into our heart and take root and then is watered and kept in there, if we don't digest it, it will never do us any good. And this explains why many believers love the Lord, but they don't have a genuine relationship with the word. In fact, look over at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Look over at John chapter 15 and verse 1. Look at this. Now, what I'm trying to explain here is that many hear the word, come to church, they hear the word, but it never gets down into their heart where it takes root. And again, we're going to talk about that in the seed, but it's the same concept with bread. If the bread doesn't get in your mouth and then go down into your throat, into your stomach, and begin to be digested, if you throw it up somehow, You can, even though you had it, even though you heard it, even though you ate it, if it doesn't go into your system and become digested, it's not going to do you any good. And so watch what Jesus is saying here, because many people have a relationship with God, but don't have a relationship with his word. And it's so vitally important that we, let me just read it. John chapter 15. You remember John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, or Jesus all at the Last Supper. So his last moments really with the disciples, supper, and he explains a lot of things. And what's what he says here? He says in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. God wants you and I to be fruitful, bearing fruit. Watch this. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Now, again, he's saying to his disciples, and for us, he's saying, you're already saved, essentially, because you've been cleansed by the word. You're not a sinner anymore. You're born again. But watch what he goes on and says. Abide in me. There's that word abide again. Abide. Live in me. Continue in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Mm-hmm. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So now we see Jesus saying, you've got to live in me. You've got to have this relationship with me. And really what he's talking about, this relationship with Christ is a marriage. It's a real relationship. Christianity is not religion. It's not about a do's and don'ts. It is about this genuine relationship that we have with Jesus. And that's what he's saying here. If you abide in me, live in me, you'll bear much fruit. Watch this. He says, verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What? Without me you can do nothing. That's powerful right there, and I won't spend time there because I'm trying to get down here to verse 6 and 7. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you by my Father. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Here it is again. Here's this discipling thing again. Remember we've read already our first verse in John chapter 8. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Here he says, if you're abiding in me, if you abide in me, not just abiding in my word, but abiding in me. So he's talking about the word and relationship. And that's what the word is. The word is living in Jesus, as in Jesus, and the word is written. Live in me and my word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, live in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So he's saying when you abide in him and his word abides in you, you'll start bearing fruit. This makes me think of Matthew chapter 12. I think it's Matthew chapter 12, maybe Matthew chapter 7 or both. But Jesus talks about how a tree is known by its fruit. You remember that? He says a tree is known by a fruit. Isn't that true? If you can tell an apple tree is an apple tree, maybe somebody who really knows leaves and all that stuff and bark, but most no regular people can tell a tree by the fruit that's on it. That's a peach tree because there's peaches hanging on it. That's an apple tree because there's apples hanging on it. He said, you know us by the fruit that's on us. We can tell what kind of tree you are. In fact, he goes on and says in that text, he says, a tree is known by its fruit. He said, make the tree good and its fruit's going to be good. Make the tree bad and the fruit's going to be bad. A tree is known by its fruit. And he was talking about us as mankind. He's saying, you know how the tree is by the fruit that it's bearing. Watch. So if our life is a life of constant struggle, of constant challenge, of constant... Now, all of us are going to go run into some bumps in the road. All of us are going to... Like, we're all in one right now. It's not going to last forever, but all of us go through storms, but storms don't last forever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about perpetual lack, perpetual sickness, perpetual marriage problems. It's just continuous. It's ongoing. Change marriage. Boy, that was going to end up in a problem. Now, please don't take that as shade. I'm just telling you, we've got to look at the fruit on our tree and see, are we bearing good fruit? Are we living a life that is joyous? Are we living a life of peace? Are we living a life of a relationship, of relationships that are blessed? Are we living a life of abundance and happiness? I'm not talking about, being a millionaire or something like that. I'm just talking about living the life that God has for you. It's a blessed life. And our life will show that. And it's, watch this, you can pray all you want about it, but a tree is going to bear the fruit that the tree produces. In order to change the fruit, you got to change the tree. And what God is saying there, what Jesus is saying, it's going to come from the inside out. You got to change the inside before the outside shows. If life is wrecked and ruined for year after year, I've got to make some changes on the inside. I've got to get some new thinking and get some new, you know, I got to get connected to the vine. And that's what he's saying here. If you're connected to this vine, you're going to bear fruit. If you're connected to me as, if you're connected to the Father and his word, your life is going to produce fruit. And he says, you're going to be a disciple indeed, a disciplined one. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Turn over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Y'all, time is going, it seems like it's going faster here. I hope you aren't bored. I hope you're with me and you can stay with me. I'm almost there. I'm almost done. Watch this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Y'all familiar with this? This is Jesus inaugural into his earthly ministry. He's 30 years old, baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin, John the Baptist. Heavens open, the Father speaks audibly. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus is led, here we go, chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus is led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now the tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones of Jesus before he goes into his earthly ministry. In the wilderness, he's not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil comes to him and says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Question, could he have done it? Absolutely. He's the living word, and the living word is what creates everything. And so he could have done that, or it wouldn't have even been a temptation. It's not a temptation if you can't do it. The temptation was getting on the devil's agenda and doing what he says versus doing what God says. Amen. And so here the devil says, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus, look at what Jesus' response is in verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth, from the mouth of God. Whoa. Man shall not live by bread alone, by natural means alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, he said it like this. He's quoting out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to go to that in a second because he's explaining something here. Man shall not live. That word live right there is a variation of the word zoe, life, the God kind of life. Man cannot have the God kind of life by natural means or natural bread alone. You're not going to have the life that God has for you, the health that God has for you, the marriage that God has for you, the blessing in life that God has for you without the word of God. You're not going to do it just by natural means, not just by your education, by your good looks, whatever the case, your skills and your talents, although that may be wonderful. He says you can't have the God kind of life by natural means or natural bread alone, but you can by the word of God. The word of God will bring you the life that God has for you. Now, he equated it here to like bread. Let's see where that quote came from, because turn over in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're almost there, y'all. Y'all all right? I hope you're all right. Let me know on if you're good. If I'm not, I hope I'm not boring you with this. I'm trying to get you to see how to eat this word of God, how you get it in. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look what Jesus quoted, what he quoted to the devil in that first temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where did he get that? It's right here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let's look at the scenario that was spoken. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And you shall remember the Lord your God, that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So this is the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land in the wilderness. Remember? Look, verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know. That means they didn't understand what the manna was, the purpose of the manna, the reasoning for the manna. Nor did your fathers know. He said, you didn't understand what the meaning of this manna. That he might make you know, here it is, that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's read on. Verse 4. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep his commandments, the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of spring and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Listen to what he's saying here. I had to feed you manna. And we're going to understand the instruction of the manna. I had to give you manna. First of all, I had to let you get hungry, like you were, and to humble you. And then I had to give you manna so that you would know that man can't live by natural means alone. Now watch what he's saying here. God had given the children of Israel all of Egypt's gold. They had pockets full of money in the middle of nowhere and nowhere to spend it. They couldn't buy food. They couldn't get food. They couldn't get water. They couldn't get anything. And although they had wealth and riches, what he's saying is, no. I want to take you somewhere, but I've got to show you that you can't live by natural means alone. So I had to give you this manna from heaven. Now, the instruction with the manna was go out every day. You can find this in Exodus chapter 16. They were instructed by Moses to go out every day and go get a portion, get a day's portion of it. In other words, don't get 2 days' portion. Think about it. If there's this food falling from heaven, this manna from heaven, the tendency was to be, in fact, if I read it to you, it says, I'm going to see if you're going to do what I say do. Go and get just a daily portion, a day. For 6 days, the first 5 days, get 1 day's portion. The sixth day, you'll go, and when you gather, it'll be 2 days' portion so you can rest on the seventh day. But his instruction was, and I'm going to see if you're going to be able to keep this command. Well, what happened? The Israelites went out and they started gathering as much as they could, more than they could eat. And the next day, all that was left over ended up spoiling and rotting and worms were in it. It went bad. It was contaminated. And God said to Moses, why won't they do what I say? I want them to go and get this manna every day. They've got to come and get it every day. Why? Because I'm trying to show them something. First of all, remember what we read. He said, you ate this manna and your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't swell. The manna on a daily basis just didn't fill them up physically. It didn't just give them physical provision, physical food. It also maintained their health. It also caused their clothes not to wear out. It also... It was bringing them to a place where he could get them to the promises that he had for them. Hear what I'm saying, Saint of God. If we don't get the word of God on a daily basis, God can't lead us, correct us, and get us to where he wants us to go. That's what he's showing us. The daily bread, and remember, Jesus even said, the disciples asked him, how do we pray? Pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our, not weekly bread, but daily bread. Now y'all, this is going to take discipline for us to be able to get habits in place where we can get the word on a daily basis. There has to be an application, just like where you eat daily. It's habit now. You need it. And the truth of the matter is what Jesus is trying to show us here, what God is showing us, you really need this word on a daily basis, just like you need food on a daily basis. Now, again, don't get under condemnation. All of us, we're busy. We all have busy lives. But what I'm saying to you is if you'll make this a priority in getting the word of God, and in this series, I'm going to show you how to do that. You've got to get it on a daily basis where it starts feeding your mind. It's feeding your soul. It will change your clothing. The word of God will change your position in life and move you to a promised land, all the promises of God. He says, in a land, verse 9 says, in a land which you will eat bread without scarcity. That means you won't have any lacks if you'll get this manna on a daily basis. Get the manna on it. Watch this. In which you lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper, When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. He said, if you get this word on a daily basis, I'll be able to bring you to the place in life that will be a very great blessing to you, and you won't forget how you got there. That's the key right there. When we trust in him in his word during the difficult times and make habit out of it, make a habit. I got to tell you, when I first started getting in the word, it was out of desperation. It was, God, I need you. I got to get out of this mess that I'm in my life. And what it did was just set a pace. Here I am now. I'm grown nearly, you know, I'm a grown man. And now I'm really dependent on this. I'm depending on it. But my life is much, much, much more blessed. I don't have any significant problems in my life. And that's no shade. Please don't take that the wrong way. That's not bragging on me. That's bragging on God and his word. God wants to get our life to a place where we lack nothing in life. But we look to him and recognize. He said, when you walk in that, let me just read it. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. You recognize that he gave it to you. It wasn't your own ability. Watch what it says. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. See, when you start getting that word on a daily basis, you start finding out the truths and wisdom in the Proverbs about marriage and how to treat your spouse. And you'll find out in the word, you know what? I could have handled that situation better. The word will work with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak to you. See, the word of God is not like any other book. When you put these words in you, Jesus said it. He says, I'm not going to speak to you like I've been speaking to you before. He says, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to teach you all things. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. He's going to remind you of everything that I said to you. And see, what the Bible is saying here is, as you put these words in, God, the Holy Spirit, will begin leading and you and guiding you in life on a daily basis. So as you run into situations in life, in marriage, you run into situations in life like we're facing right now. You may be a business owner and you had to close your doors today. Like, what do I do? How am I going to manage this? Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you didn't have a relationship with God and you're born again, now is a good time to start developing it. Get in that relationship. God's going to work these things out for your good and teach you how to handle these situations. First of all, where you don't have to worry about it. And even though you may not have a check coming right away, you get what I'm saying? And there's going to be a lapse. It's going to work out. Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. If I'm abounding, I'm good. If I'm in lack, if I'm starving, I'm good. If I'm being beaten, I'm good. How could he have that kind of attitude? He had this real relationship with God in the Word where he knew who he was and he knew that there was nothing that could take him out. I'm telling you, he'd been beaten and left for dead, but it couldn't stop him because he knew who he was and had genuine relationship with Jesus and genuine relationship with his Word. Looky here. All right, y'all get that. We understand. Ooh, I gotta watch my time. We're almost done here. That the Jesus wants us to get into the Word. God wants us to get into the Word because it's going to direct us and guide us on a daily basis to where he wants us to be in life. Turn over in John chapter 6, and this is where we're going to close. John chapter 6 is where we're closing. Y'all still with me? We're almost done. Ooh, I've gone almost an hour, and that's really long for sitting here in a microphone. But turn over in your Bible to John chapter 6. This whole John chapter 6 is all about Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Here, look over in John chapter 6, verse 26. Oh, this day, in John chapter 6, you see that Jesus fed the 5,000. This is with the two loaves and the five loaves and the two fish. He fed the multitude of 5,000 men, not counting the women. Later on in that chapter, verse 15, you see him walking on water. Remember that? And then it's in this, and verse 22 starts out, on the next day. The crowd was looking for him. All these people that he had fed, they were looking for him. But Jesus had walked across the Sea of Galilee, and he had crossed on the other side, and he was there in Capernaum. And so this is where we pick up the story. Verse 26, Jesus answered them because they were looking for him. They asked him, Jesus, when did you get to the other side? When did you come over here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You want natural bread. You want me to do something for you like that. Look in verse 27. Y'all there? John chapter 6, verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes. but for the food which endures to everlasting life. The same word, eternal life. This relationship, knowing God. Everlasting life, eternal life. Jesus defined it in John chapter 17 and verse 3. He said, eternal life is knowing me, knowing me. Watch what he says. Don't seek the food that just nourishes your body. Seek the food that endures to knowing me, that brings you to knowing me. That's what everlasting life, eternal life is, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set a seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Watch. Verse 30, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may know it and believe you? What work will you do? Look what they say, verse 31. Our fathers ate manna in the desert. Mm-hmm. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life, health, healing to the world, right? Verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. We want this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am that bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, let's wrap it all up. Look, Jesus is the Word. They're one in the same. The Father, one in the same. Jesus, the Word, him, one in the same. Now he says, how do I get this life of God? How do I get this resurrected life? How do I get this healed life? How do I get this creative life that God is? He says, you get it through me by the Word. You get me by getting the Word on a daily basis. You get the bread of life just like they got the manna in the desert by getting this Word, getting my Word on a daily basis. It's gonna give you my life. I am the bread of life. You're going to get me as you get the Word. Pastor Lee, I wish I could hear a word from God. I wish I could hear from God. You can every single day as you get down with this book. As you sit down with this book and get the words of Jesus, you'll be getting the life of God. Now, why? This is why you got to get it on a daily basis. Little bits, just like you can't run. I mean, to get in shape, it's not wise to just go out one day and try to run 10 miles. No, probably ought to start walking 1 mile a day or 2 miles or something like that and ease into the thing. A baby doesn't start out eating steaks and baked potatoes. However, I wouldn't mind having some right now with some lobster and some potato chips. But I'm just saying, he has to start out with baby food, just eating a little bit on a daily basis. So I want to encourage you to get the Proverbs on a daily basis, maybe 5 Psalms. Now watch, again, many believers have this relationship with God, but they don't have a relationship with his Word, so they never get the manna, get the life out of Jesus that they're desiring. Praying, Lord, help my marriage. Lord, help this. It's this Word on a daily basis that's going to begin fixing those things. But it's on a it's daily bread, y'all. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Listen, let me read a few more verses and then I'm going to close, because the key here today is getting. And here's where I want you to start. If you haven't been reading the Word and haven't had this intimate relationship with the Word, a great place to start is right here in the book of John. Now, y'all, you're gonna have to set a schedule to do this. Maybe it's at lunch. I mean, we're all at home now. It's a good time. I get up early and do it. And maybe you're not an early bird. But maybe it's times where you're sitting down at lunch. Maybe it's it's exercise time. Maybe you put it on in your headset. But it's getting it on a daily basis. And for many believers, that's going to take some discipline. All of us, it's going to take some discipline. It's just like eating right. It's this diet that we need of the Word of God on a daily basis. Let me read a few more verses and then we're closing. Amen. Stevie, you can come on. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread. He said, I am that bread of life. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst if you get this. Jump down to verse 41. Look, then the Jews complained about him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. They got mad at Jesus because he said, this is that bread. I am that bread. That daily bread that they were getting, I'm that bread. Yeah. Do y'all remember this? They started complaining about that daily bread. They got tired of it. It's easy to get tired for many people of just getting in the Word on a daily basis. the word is different. I mean, you have to discipline yourself to do it, just like you have to discipline your kids. Have you ever had to make your kids eat? I got to make my kid eat. I've got to make him eat. Trey, did you eat breakfast? No. Sometimes on the weekend, we have to make him. We have to make him get up and eat breakfast. He'll want to go and do something else, start playing, get involved in stuff. Did you eat breakfast? No. Did you eat lunch? No. You're going to eat something. Eat something now. We have to make it. You may have to make yourself, and that's what part of being a disciple is. But start in the book of John or in the Gospels, in the New Testament, and start reading forward and get a good, easy translation. I mean, just start out with a chapter a day. That's a good start. Start out in the book of John. I've read some of it already to you. But you'll start understanding who Jesus is. And these words, I'm telling you, when you read the Gospel of John, it'll jump off the pages to you. And the Holy Spirit may later begin explaining some of these things to you in real life time when you run into situations. Here we are. Jump down to verse 47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life, verse 48. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat it and not die. And he's telling us here, listen, he goes into this whole chapter. He starts explaining, you've got to eat of this bread. And what he's talking about there, and drink of my blood, what he's talking about in my body, what I've done for you in my death, burial, and resurrection will bring life to you, but you eat it by getting this word on a daily basis. It will identify for you who you are, what God has for you. It will nourish you, but watch. You got to tune in next week because there's so much more I want to say and I have no time. I'm already out of time. Listen, let's close right now because I want y'all to tune in next week and I want you to tune in Sunday and get with me in the word. Take some time and get your family together and let's get this word. Listen, we're closing right now. Let me say this. I want you to share this out. And I want to say thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for joining me. Listen, this word has got to become food to you. Let me pray for you right now. If you're watching, by the way, today, and you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, let me tell you, God's not mad at you. He really is madly in love with you. He's got great things in store for you. God has a great future for you. He has great things in store for your life. And how it all begins is just by accepting him. Say this simple prayer with me, and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Say this if you're there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Right now, I'm forever forgiven and forever saved. Friend, if you said that simple prayer, you're born again, forever forgiven. And I want to encourage you to tune back in. We'll be back right back on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Join me. We're going to get into the word a little bit further. And we'll be here Wednesday. And we're going to be here doing it like this as long as we can't get our band and get everybody together. But as soon as they let us do it differently, we'll do it differently. Hey, listen, friend, I want to encourage you to continue to support us. By the way, thank you. Thank you for your gifts, your seed, your tithes, and your offerings. And again, if you're still working, we want to encourage you to sow seed, to continue to sow seed. And you can do that. You can do that by giving online on our website at www.destinygso.org, as well as, which is one of my favorite ways right here, is text the word give, G-I-V-E, to 336-344-7088. Or, you don't like any of that stuff, you can mail your tithe, your gift, your seed. And see, as long as you support us, we can still keep doing it like this. We can pay the bills. We can still come getting you the word. And that's what we want to do. And we encourage you to give. You can mail your seed, your tithe, and your offering to P.O. Box 16065, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27416. And I'll send this out. I'll text it out so you can know all this stuff. But listen, I want to get with you again soon. I'm going to connect with you. Watch for me. Be my friend on Facebook and on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram so we can stick this out together, walk in the Word together, get in the Word together, and get everything that God has for you. Friend, I love you. God bless you.